And Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Friday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. Coming up a little bit later on the show, Keith McCalmont from the New York Racing Association press office. We'll talk a little Saratoga this season. We'll talk a little bit of Alabama. But Keith was always our guy up at Woodbine going back a few years. He's been at NYRA now for a while. But I thought we'd also get Keith into, I know he's going to be pointed up north of the border and looking at this weekend and the Queen's Plate coming up on Sunday. So we'll talk a little Queen's Plate with Keith as well. Just before that, Ed Fazone from Eddie F's, both on the racing side and the restaurant side. We'll talk some food and some horses with Ed coming up in a few. But the top of the show, going to be joined by our friend Dallas Stewart. He has Will's Secret tomorrow in the Alabama. We'll hit on that and much more. Dallas, good morning.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Happy to have you. And my cohort in here during the handicappers report, as I listed the guests, he brought up your name, and I will ask you to fill in the story if there is a story. But I know back in the day you were an assistant to Wayne Lucas, and Anthony, my co-host from the previous show, mentioned you were the exercise writer for Winning Colors?
Correct.
Nice. And I guess she was a handful?
Very much so. She was tough.
But could you in the morning see the talent that she would exhibit in the afternoons as well?
Yeah, I didn't start getting on her till after the Santa Anita Derby, right before the Kentucky Derby. But she was a handful, but we got the job done.
Yeah, very much so. She was certainly a very special female on the scene. And as I say, in the early days, you were with Wayne Lucas, who had that pipeline of guys who have gone on to have successful careers.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. And it's, you know, kind of still going. Brad Cott's worked for me. George Weaver's rolling. You know, he worked for Todd.
Yeah.
Mike Maker, you know, I hired him. He worked for Wayne. Just on and on.
Yeah, it's the Wayne Lucas
pipeline
continues,
like you said,
through the folks as well. I wanted to bring up because I think you have to feel really good. You know, the rest of the year we're in the studio down in Albany, and I'm handicapping in the afternoon. One of the tracks we look at is Fairgrounds, obviously, during the winter season. And I pulled up last night because I had to bring it up. Man, you had a nice Fairgrounds meet. I pulled up the stats here. You were 22%. You had to feel pretty good about the winter season at the Fairgrounds.
Yeah, the track was great. We were able to train them like we wanted to. You know, we had a lot of starts. We only had 25 horses, so yeah. It was a good meet.
Yeah, no, as I say, 22%. You had to feel very good about that. And that's your wintertime base, right?
Yes, sir. There and Oaklawn. We had a good meet at Oaklawn also.
And where do you – give me your – you know, the circuit you make during the year?
Well, we start, you know, you could say we start there in the winter, Oaklawn, then we come back up to Kentucky. We do Keeneland, Churchill, a little bit of Indiana. Then that kind of shuts down. We come up here. Now we're at Colonial. Things are going very well there.
Yeah.
So we're just kind of, you know, just depends on how many horses we have.
Sure. And you got a couple coming up in stakes at Colonial on Monday. We'll hit on that in a few minutes, too. Before we do anything, though, I want to go back to yesterday. Nice little maiden breaker. And I saw you right after the race and talked about we'll watch the stretch run here yesterday. Second race, it was Big Scully, the number 7, over number 5, Inevitable Connection. And, boy, it was a duel. Talk about your thoughts as they were coming down the lane. Were you confident he would go by, or were you kind of pins and needles as they came down the stretch? He's on the outside here, and it looks like the inside horse is going to hold him off, but as they get to the wire, you make a nice little surge.
Very much so. Like Pat Days would always say, they pay off at the wire. And luckily, we got there first.
Second-time starter, had run third in the debut earlier in the meet. What are your hopes for this horse? Because, again, that was a nice – you have to feel good. That, I think, shows a mental toughness, that nice gutsy win like that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. He came out of it good, and we'll just see where we go from here.
Yeah, it was, as I say, second career start, and you got to like when they come down the stretch, and they have that will to win.
Hey.
Yeah. Also wanted to talk, obviously, about tomorrow in the Alabama. You have Will's Secret. And I pulled up a couple of replays here. I wanted to go back to the nice win. You mentioned the season you had down at Oaklawn. We're going to pull up the Honeybee here. Will's Secret is going to be the number two horse over Pauline's Pearl. Again, Will's Secret in tomorrow's Alabama. This was a few starts back, but it was a nice win early in the season. Talk about this win in the Honeybee for Will's Secret.
Yeah, I mean, she was trained at the fairgrounds. The weather was kind of shaky at Oaklawn, but we got her up there. And, you know, she kind of got her groove on in this race and showed that she was a nice filly, was going to be able to compete during the spring. And she was third in the Kentucky Oaks. It was a great race.
Yeah, so. And I pulled that up because everybody talked about the ding-dong battle between Malathat and Search Results, and we'll watch the stretch run in the Kentucky Oaks next. But you, Will Secret, were a good third in there, nice gutsy third over Clairiere. That had to give you some confidence on her three-year-old season. As well. Talk about the third place finish here. And again, Will Secret's going to be the number 11 with a nice little nose edge for the third place.
You know, she's not a real big filly, but she's got a lot of heart. She showed a lot of heart and tenacity right there to hold on for third against the best. So she's trained very well since she's been here. So,
last time out in the Indiana Oaks, ran sixth. What was your takeaway from that race?
Well, that was a situation, I think, where it rained in between the seventh and ninth, and they didn't have the track sealed, and the water ran down in there to the one hole. I had the one hole. I didn't run good. Folsom had the one hole in the Indiana Derby, and they were both exhausted. My horse was. I talked to Brad. He said his horse was exhausted after the race, and, you know, she came out of it good. We got her up here. We've given her some good work. She worked a minute here on the main track. She looks phenomenal, and like I said, she's not a real big horse, so... you know, she's going to have a work cut out for her, but it's Alabama.
Yeah, what do you think about the mile and a quarter? Obviously, that's a question mark that they have to answer, but what are your feelings for Will Secret with the distance?
I mean, she finished good in the Oaks. You know, she's about Will Take Charge. He was a, you know, long-distance horse. And so we'll see. Yeah. It's time to run.
You know, looking at the workouts you mentioned since he's been up here, she's been working well. That August 14th, minute two over here looked pretty good. So she has taken to the track since coming up here to Saratoga?
Yeah, she's ready. Right. She's ready.
So what is your confidence level coming into the Alabama?
Well, I mean, I'm confident that she's going to run good and that she looks good, she feels good. You know, it's a different, you know, how we're going to match up. But that's why they run them over here, Saratoga.
Yeah, it's Saratoga, and you got a horse that clearly is a player in the three-year-old division. As we watch that Honeybee in the third and the Kentucky Oaks, they put up the grade one at the Alabama. You got to take a shot,
gotta
right?
Got to go.
Yeah.
Got to go.
Talk a little bit about also everybody I've gotten in here this year. I've asked, just reflect on what it's been like because, you know, you're playing in a sport and the fans are a big part of sports and the feedback you get. How different it's been now that we've gotten up to Saratoga and fans are back in the stands.
You know, it's just great to have everybody back and how much everybody just loves horse racing across the world.
Yeah.
You know, everybody across the world is watching our races here at Saratoga, Belmont, Churchill. You know, we're putting a good product out there. We got all the great jockeys and, you know, also California. You know, we're just, you know, I think the show's coming together real good. Everybody's really enjoying it. The handles are up and the people are enthused about being, you know, a part of the game. And we're glad to have them.
Yeah. I've said right along, I think horse racing as compared to other sports, really the silver lining was, I don't just think we did well. I think we maybe pulled some new
it's
fans
unreal.
In.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. All right. Also wanted to touch on, because I mentioned you have some horses coming up on Monday at Colonial in stakes races. So we'll get some opinions there as well. In the Seeking the Pearl, you have Tipsy Gal. Frank's Rocket goes down to try this for Bill Mott. But Tipsy Gal, I'm going to go back to the fairgrounds, speaking of the nice meet you had back on March 18th. This is an allowance event. Tipsy Gal is going to be the number four horse in here. Nice winner on that day. Subsequently, she's had a couple other starts at Churchill, but now moves over to Colonial and tries the Seeking the Pearl on Monday. What are your thoughts for Tipsy Gal coming up at Colonial?
Well, you can look at her workouts. She's been working phenomenal there. She's doing good. We tried to get her in the lounge race, and we just couldn't get it to go. We didn't want to go the whole meet without racing. So we're in here hoping we can hit the board, hopefully win it. I mean, it's, you know, Frank's Rockette's a beautiful, great horse. So if we get some black type, that'll be a plus.
Yeah, were you a little shocked when you saw Frank's Rockette when the entries came up?
I heard she was gone, but, you know, listen, it's not a game for scared people.
Yeah, that is the truth. You have another one coming up on Monday down at Colonial in the Chesapeake, Long Range Toddy. I'm going to go back and look at the Aristides at Churchill back on May 29th. Long Range Toddy's going to run a good second in here. Bango, the three wins. Long Range Toddy runs second, the number six horse in this replay. Long Range Toddy subsequently had another start at Churchill after this. Now comes in, and you talk about workouts with Tipsy Gal. Long Range Toddy is ripping off big workouts down at Colonial. What are your thoughts on Long Range Toddy on Monday?
He's really been taken to the track real well. Worked in 58, we're excited about running him. We know he's a quality horse. He showed up good here. The race after this race, he just got into speed duel. It didn't work out good. So our tactics need to be, you know, right on for this horse to win.
John Court back on board. He's been the regular rider.
Correct.
So, and talk a little bit about Colonial. That's a track I've never been to. What's the situation down there, fan-wise, and just how do you like the track?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Jill Byrne did a great job on recruiting. Got some guys from Churchill because Churchill's closed. We had horses ready to run. They have good purses. The track's, you know, a nice track. They have turf and dirt. Yeah. So we went on with it. Horses that I didn't think could fit here on their first race. You know, they had some nice stake races.
Sure.
So we moved there. It's went well. And, you know, of course, we'll be excited to get back to Churchill.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's been good, and we're excited to be here at Saratoga.
How did that work out for you? Would you have still had horses at Churchill had they not had the situation this season?
I don't know. Well, probably so, because I have some at Turfway
okay. That
are just training, getting ready for September. Probably those horses. They're nice. Got some nice horses there. So they would have stayed at Churchill. But the way the situation came up, they're at Turfway, Colonial, and here.
Yeah.
Kind of spread out a little bit, but it's working out all right.
Yeah. As you say, had some nice runners down at Colonial, and certainly the nice winner yesterday up here, Big Scully. But, Dallas, before we let you go, you know, we talked a little bit about exercise rider on Winning Colors, but as a trainer, certainly a trainer of some nice runners as well. Forever Unbridled, I am going to pull up the replay of the 2017 Breeders' Cup Distaff. Forever Unbridled, the number six horse here, winds up the winner for trainer Dallas Stewart. And I'm just curious, as you look at this race, I will ask, I don't know whether it's fair to ask trainers, but do you have a favorite horse? Would this one rank in that category? And if not a favorite horse, do you have a favorite race, a favorite win in the career?
Well, her mom was pretty good. Her mom was Lemons Forever, so that's pretty much up there on the favorite list. But I seem to have a lot of favorites. I can't, you know. So she ran great, Forever Unbridled. And her sister, Unbridled Forever, won the ballerina here. So the mom was just unbelievable.
Yeah, Unbridled Elaine, right?
No, that was Unbridled Forever, and this is Forever Unbridled.
Yeah,
the mom's
yeah.
Lemons Forever.
Right.
Unbridled
right.
Elaine did win the Breeders' Cup Distaff with Pat Day. She was an Unbridled song.
Right. But again, that was Forever Unbridled with the nice win in the Breeders' Cup Distaff in 2017. Nice win on the resume there. Maybe another big Grade 1 win on the resume in the Alabama tomorrow. You have Will's Secret. And again, she had shown some nice talent in the three-year-old division earlier in the year, the win in the Honey Bee, the third in the Kentucky Oaks. We wish you a lot of good luck tomorrow in the Alabama.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks
for having me.
Dallas Stewart, again, Will's Secret in the Alabama on Saturday afternoon. We will head to a break. When we come back, Ed Vizzone will join us. Stay tuned.
Thank you.
Welcome to the West. I'm Scott Varley at Saratoga's latest and greatest high-rise luxury condo. Starting in the mid-fives, every condo here has two bedrooms and two baths and upgrades, just like this. Check out these oversized private balconies. We also have a gym, a private lounge, and get this, a heated parking garage. To make a reservation for your private condo at the West, call or text me. I'm Scott Varley at 518-281-6808.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Friday morning. Thanks to Dallas Stewart for stopping by again. Will Secret tomorrow in the Alabama. Happy to be joined now by Ed Fizzone of Eddie F's, both the racing side and the restaurant side. Ed,
thanks
good morning.
For having me.
Happy to have you.
All right.
Talk a little racing, talk a little food. I said we talk a little horses,
right.
Fried clams, lobster rolls, and more. And let's start out. I pulled up a replay from yesterday, the third race yesterday. You had Jasmine Eskin, right. And we were talking before we went on the air. It was unfortunate the race moved off the turf, but you stuck in. Jasmine Eskin is going to be the number 9 horse here and does not quit in the field. Winds up third, but you can see the 9 Chicklet there sitting in the back of the pack, but doesn't quit and gets up to get third by a nose. So you had to like the gusto there at the end of the race for Jasmine Eskin.
Yeah, she ran a great race. I mean, she was a little bit wide, but all in all, Eric stayed on her. He said she really dug in. Doesn't really care for the slop so much, so we'll probably stick with her on the turf for now. But yeah, she ran a really good race. We were happy with her finish in third.
Yeah, as I say, she got up, as people saw, just at the wire there to get the third place finish and just never gave up coming down the stretch, and you got to like that, the guts there. Ed, I'm going to talk a little bit about how you got into the game, but I was talking to our friend Mike McAdam from the Gazette, and he mentioned Gary DeNola, who was an English teacher of yours, and I was hearing the story of you and a daily racing form
right.
as your English project.
Yeah,
remember that for us.
Yeah, that was senior year, and Gary says, got to do a step-by-step procedure in front of the class. And I was like, man, what am I going to do? So I cut out 30 pieces of racing form, passed them out, and went on how to read a racing form. Probably the only A I ever got in school, but it was a good. Gary always remembered that. He comes into place all the time, and yeah, it's a great story. We laugh all the time.
I could totally relate to that. Yeah. I love that. A public speaking class when I was at Syracuse, I taught people how to read the form too. Yes. So I guess we're all in that mindset. Right. But how did you originally get in the game?
You know, my family, my father started bringing me and my brothers and sisters up to the track. Me and my brother used to run around the trees and get the goggles and the autographs and all that. So my whole family, we've been coming up here for years, and you know, me and my brother really took a liking to it. My brother's a fantastic handicapper, knows his stuff. I think I'm pretty good too. We get a little competition there, but we'll leave it at that. We just been coming up for years, and then you know, I moved away to Florida for 14 years, had a restaurant there. Used to come back every summer for the track as much as I could. Came back here in 2016, started a partnership with Eddie F's Racing. It's growing. You know, I try to keep my horses at a smaller partnership, give people an opportunity, maybe get something out of it rather than put 100 people on a horse. I'm getting more and more partners interested. We're doing really well, I think. We've won 11 races in just over 2 years. We have some nice horses. I have a really nice two-year-old that Buck Shins before the meet that we were looking forward to running here. Central Banker Dream to Dream, half to that Brad Cox Dream a Little Dream of You.
Okay.
Yeah, and also half to my horse Dream Point.
What's the name? What can we look for?
Dream Central.
Dream Central, Belmont in the fall. Maybe?
Yeah, I'm hoping the fall, late fall probably. She's back in training now, so she's stayed down at Belmont. We didn't bring her here, we're looking forward to running her.
You talk about your brother and. When I mentioned the guest I was going to have on the show to my handicapping show partner, Anthony Mormino, he said, ask him about years ago, there was the four TVs in the clubhouse, and it was all outlined in white, but at the end of the season, there was a little black mark at the end, and he said you left your
mark. Beating the program on it, yeah, that was... And they every year we'd mark it. Yeah, we had a good little crowd down there. Anthony was always down there. Yeah, we had a lot of fun with that.
He said you left your mark on the racetrack. I like that.
I think everybody was always staring at us, thought we were a little crazy, but we had a lot of fun. We brought a lot of excitement to a race, for sure.
And you can certainly relate this year. Just give me your thoughts on fans being back at Saratoga after a year away from the track last year.
Well, it's great to see everybody back, and it looks like everybody's excited and having a great time, and crowds have been fairly pretty good. I mean, the weather's slowed us down a little bit, but the nice days we've been packed.
Yeah.
So, it's great. It's great for the businesses in Saratoga. It's just all around, it's great to see everybody coming back into town from being out. And, Saratoga's a great place, so everybody's enjoying it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I have a shot. I took a shot as I was chasing after you yesterday to book you for the show. I took a shot of you and Eric Cancel walking back to the jocks room. We may have that shot so folks can see your EF silks as well. Is the partnership open to folks?
It is. Whoever wants to get, anybody wants to get involved, they can either instant message me on my Facebook. My racing page, for some reason, is down right now. Hopefully to have it back up. I have an Eddie F's Racing page, and I have my own personal Facebook, Ed Fazone. They can instant message me through there. They can call the restaurant or just come in the restaurant if interested. And I go as low as some guys just want to get involved, and I'll sell them a little piece for, you know, $1,500, $2,000 just to give them the excitement. They love it.
Yeah.
You know. Every horse is different. How I work it out. And anybody interested, they can always reach out to me. I'd be happy to talk to them.
I have had partnership people in here before, and everybody says it doesn't matter how small of a
that's
piece
right.
you have, you're just still excited. Super excited when the horse is coming down the stretch.
That's it.
Yeah,
it's all about that. It's a really exciting thing.
And let's talk about some of your horses that folks may watch coming up, and we'll pull up a replay going back to July 19th. This is going to be the New York Derby. Lobster will be the number three horse here. You run into a little bit of a buzzsaw from Todd Pletcher in American Revolution. But Lobster, again, the number three horse, nice runner for you, love the name, comes out of the third place finish in the New York Derby, and we were talking before we went on the air I pulled up the PPs to the nominations, nominated to the Albany, so we may look for a Lobster coming up next up here in the Albany.
Right. You know, he's training well since this race here. I talked to Gary this morning. We're going to see how the track is tomorrow. Breeze him either tomorrow morning or Sunday, and then see how he comes out of that, and then hopefully we're going to enter in there.
Yeah, certainly. You have run now. We saw the New York Derby a third. The Mike Lee was a third as well. That was the old, they did away. I wish they'd bring that back, the actual New York Triple, the Big Apple Triple.
Yeah, Big Apple.
They call it the Mike Lee, the New York Derby, and the Albany up here. That kind of made it fun. I wish they would bring that concept back.
That would be, they should bring it back. Yeah. I don't know why they haven't.
Because the New York bred three-year-olds, typically there's a fun crop, and Lobster is one of those this year. Coming up on Monday out at Finger Lakes, Chowda, also going to run. It was after, I'm just looking it up here, it had to be the 15-1 win February of last year. I stopped in your restaurant and I was eating, and I said to the waitress, "So did everybody have it?" And she said, "Yeah, not enough, but at 15-1, that's always the horse player's lament. Yeah, I should have played more." But a nice $30 winner with Chowda. But I pulled up the Gander going back to, this was the 15-1 race, speaking of it. Number two, Chowda will be the winner at a nice juicy 15-1. Chowda hasn't been seen since October of last year, but entered in the Genesee Valley Breeders on Monday up at the Finger Lakes. What are your thoughts coming up this Monday for Chowda?
You know, he's training well, doing really good. Happy to have him back. We thought we liked this spot here. The only question, maybe, you know, mile on a 16th off the 10-month layoff. Hopefully, he's fit enough to go. Like I said, he's training well. So there was really nowhere to run him. I didn't see up here. So Gary asked me about that race, and I said, you know what, let's do it. His first race back.
You got to get him started.
You got to get him started. So, you know, going to mile on 16th, because we're probably going to stay a little long with him too. They're not really sprinters in Lobster or Chowda. They like that mile, usually a little bit, maybe longer. So we're going to find out tomorrow, but I think I'm expecting him to run good Monday.
Lobster with $130,000 in the bank, Chowda with over $150,000 in the bank. What's your philosophy and how do you acquire your horses?
Well, I work a lot with John Jaco. He's a Fedwell Farm right here in Saratoga. Most of the horses I bought have been off him. I bought Chowder, Lobster. I have their half-brother, Oyster, who's a yearling. He's in Virginia right now. Hopefully we'll see him up here next year. Dream Point. We did a private sale off John, and Dream Central, we also bought off John. And then Woodbury Payne, who runs the training center up in Virginia. That's a great program they have for anybody that doesn't know about it, the Virginia Certified, where if you bring your horses up there as yearlings and they're there, you get that Virginia bonus money, like 25% extra.
Yeah, yeah.
It's totally a separate pot, up to $10,000. So I've done well with that too.
That's interesting, and reflect a little bit on the New York bred program, because I know you're big into the New York breds, and certainly that has proven to be lucrative as well.
So yeah, and also, you know, they're eligible. If I wanted to, I could bring them like down to Colonial Downs and run them in Virginia stake races.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, so it's a real good program.
Yeah, but Chowda and Lobster, both New York breds as well. So you have a good New York bred, you have all kinds of options.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, mostly, you know, I look for New York breds. Jasmine Esk is, I think, the only one I have that's not. I have Boohoo. Boohoo's coming back soon. He's on Belmont training also. Only ran twice so far. Nice New York bred by Big Brown. One second time out, and had a little flake in the knee, had to take it out. The Dream Point, Dream Central, they're both New York breds.
It's a lucrative program, and as I say, it gives you all kinds of
great
options. Before we let you go, want to talk, as I said at the top, talk a little food as well, and your restaurant. I am a regular over there, and since the booth has come to the track, I've gotten my fried clam fix at the racetrack as well. I would recommend people stopping at both locations here for the track. You see some
pictures.
Fried clams and a lobster roll. I'm as a kid through adulthood, my dad was from Maine, and so I would go to the Maine coast every summer, and that's where I got my fix on fried clams and lobster rolls. But I tell everybody, yours are as good as you're going to find on any
Thanks.
Seafood
Appreciate
shack
that.
On the shore out at Maine.
Nice.
And last year, after the meet was over, I was probably there about once a week. And given the protocols, you had a little outside dining area and people could order outside.
Yeah.
And right towards the end of the season, you and your wife brought me in and you had kind of expanded things inside. You're starting to move inside. How have things progressed over at the restaurant?
Good. We got the nice outside patio now, inside dining. You know, we larged it up a little bit with COVID. That's why we were closed so long inside. Takeout business was really good back when. We still do real good takeout, but yeah, we're going forward. It's going to be 5 years in September. Business is great. Can't complain. A lot of support from the locals and everybody that comes into town. A lot of my locals, though, I lose them this time of year. They think I'm going to be too busy and they don't come up. So I tell them they can always get a table if they call.
Yeah. Certainly make your move.
But yeah. And then
over
we got
there.
The booth here, which is, it was an honor that, Naira, came to me and asked me if I was interested. That started last year, actually. During COVID, they started coming in and asking me next year if Saratoga's up, would I be interested? So, yeah, that was an honor to be, asked to go in here.
Yeah, and I can verify the fried clams are just as good here on Friday. I have not had the lobster roll here yet, but that's on the list before the end of the year, and then I'll be back over to the restaurant when the season is over because, again, the nice September, you get the warm summer nights, and so it's great to go over and sit outside over there and get the seafood. How did you, as you said, you were in Florida with a restaurant.
Right.
What was the decision-making process to come back and open up here in Saratoga? Why the seafood thing?
Well, I bought the restaurant in Florida, and it was a seafood thing. I've been in restaurant business for a long time. My family, was in restaurants. And, so I caught on pretty easy when I bought this fish place. It was called A Bit of Boston in Florida. And, for some crazy reason, we wanted to come back, and I was thinking I could run both at the same time, and it wasn't going to work. But once we got back home, it was a no-brainer to sell Florida, come back home. I mean, like I said, for me, like everybody, January, February, if you're not an outdoor winter person. Yeah. So once you get through that, it's beautiful up here. The weather is great, So, we were happy to come home. Like I said, I had both places for a while, and running back and forth, it was got out really crazy. So we dumped Florida and just stayed with this one here.
Yeah, good decision in that I'm happy you're here because, as I say, as a lobster and fried clam guy myself, I appreciate the local opportunity to chow down and recommend people. What's the address?
Not 119 Quentin Street in Saratoga.
Yeah, and you're kind of over by Skidmore for people who aren't
right down the road
familiar
from there.
With the area.
Wesley Nursing Home is down the street.
And once you get on the street, you won't miss it.
It's the old pink store.
Yeah.
There you
exactly.
go.
Eddie F's, again, you can find it here in town or on track as well. You can look for the Silks coming up Monday out at the Finger Lakes with Chowda. We'll see coming up in the Albany with Lobster, but Jasmine Esk yesterday, a nice third place finish. And the future runners as well. We'll look for Dream Central down at Belmont to get started down there. Ed, appreciate the
visit. Thanks for having me.
And continued good success at the meet.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Keith McCalmont. Again, we'll talk a little New York racing. We'll also get some thoughts on the Queen's Plate. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Juvenile fillies turf, 14 of them across the track. Here's Sent on their way. And of the dance on the outside, broke a little sideways with Bro KK, but meanwhile it's going to be stopped. But running on now, and Somali Lemonade's got eight to make up. They come to the top of the lane, stop shopping. Maria's got a lot left. Stop shopping. Maria goes on. Sweet Cat is right there, hard not to like. Royal Body is running on. Past the eight ball, they come. Stop shopping. Maria for the run. Still under a hand ride as they come to the 16th. Stephanie's Kitten coming out late. Yes, Stephanie's Kitten coming fast. Stephanie's Kitten, stop chopping Maria. Stephanie's Kitten's water.
watched her chances, broke smartly, but so did Tara from the Cape. On the inside, Sky Lantern the Grey going well. If he can get through, can get through. Sky Lantern the Grey looking for somewhere to run. Wide, wide open. It's Tara from the Cape hanging on. Tara from the Cape tries to go all the way. On the outside now, here comes Flotilla in the light blue. Flotilla is absolutely flying. Watch the chances in there too. But Flotilla has gone right on by. And Flotilla is coming home to score. Flotilla has won it just about two in the end. It'll be Watch the Chances, Summer of Fun, coming on to finish there.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Thanks for joining us on this Friday morning. Happy to be joined now by our friend Keith McCalmont. For years, he was our go-to guy when we visited Woodbine, but he's been at NYRA now for a while, so we'll talk a little New York and Canada. Good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Thanks for having me on. It's still strange to be doing these shows live instead of over the phone like I used to, especially plate weekend.
Yeah, we would talk to you quite a bit by phone, and plate weekend was typically when we were back in the studio, and we'll talk a little Queen's Plate more directly in a moment, but just again, it's the second year in a row that the plate has been moved due to COVID.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a later start, and I think you're seeing that affecting some of the performances like we did here in New York, where horses needed a couple races to sort of get into themselves and be fit. So look for those improving horses at Woodbine. They've had a late start to the year.
And again, we'll talk a little bit more about the Queen's Plate coming up on Sunday and more up at Woodbine, but before we do that, let's get some thoughts. You're in the New York press office now, the NYRA press office. So let's talk a little New York racing and the Saratoga season. And I've had Pat McKenna in here, and we've had talked to David O'Rourke as well earlier in the season. Now that we're, you know, two-thirds of the way in, I'll get some opinions just on how things are going. But just the overarching, the fact that fans are back, I think, is a great thing to happen in New York racing.
Yeah, last year we had great racing on the track, but the atmosphere was missing, and that's what's so great about Saratoga is the backyard is full of people. There's a buzz in the crowd. Even after a Grade 1 win, when the fans stand up and applaud the winner coming back, it makes those moments that much more special. And I've had a lot of opportunities to talk to jockeys after these wins. Irad in particular talks about what the buzz means to him, and I'll walk back from the winner's circle to the jocks room with him, and he's just getting inundated with kids wanting autographs and selfies and goggles, and it's great. He feeds off it, and he's having a great meet.
Yeah, that's one of the great things about the meet, that walk back the jockeys to the jockeys room, the interaction with the fans and the little kids. And I've had, well, Ed Fizzone just said it. He said he was a little kid who got the goggles and the whip, and that helped pull him into the game, and I think that does certainly create new fans. And you said it. I've said it now since last year. The fans weren't here for Tis the Law and Swiss Skydiver, and there were so many good performances last year that it was just a shame people couldn't be here for. But now this year, right from opening day, there's just a buzz in the building and just a really good-natured buzz, which you don't always see at the racetrack, but people are just happy to be back.
Yeah, I honestly, not only at the track are we seeing the fans back, but you're seeing it in the numbers and the wagering too, which is way up this year. Our handle is lights out. It feels like we're on course for record handle for the meet. It's just great to have the support and to feel it not just here on track but nationwide from people supporting the program.
Yeah, and again, I've said that I think racing was one of the better performers, sports performers during the pandemic. Whereas the silver lining to a very tough situation over the past year and a half was, I think, racing actually pulled some new fans in. And part of that was the Fox program, which has done great over the last year and pulled in, I think, a lot of new fans and has shown New York racing and been beneficial to New York racing. But beyond that, I think it's been beneficial to racing in general.
Yeah, and, you know, our show does a great job of educating new fans, too. There's a lot of segments on there. You know, reaching out to new fans, and we have people like Maggie Wolfendale who can explain what to look for in a horse in the paddock, and Acacia's great with her pre-race analysis. It's you If you're the hardcore better and you want to listen to Andy talk stats, he's there and he's got those numbers for you. But I think we hit all the marks with that program.
Yeah, I agree. It does a great job, as I say, not just for New York racing, but I think it's beneficial to the industry as a whole as well. Let's talk a little Alabama. Saturday afternoon, the feature, traditionally one of the big four from when I was a kid. And, you know, it was Whitney, Travers, Alabama, and the hopeful were the big four, and they all still remain key parts of this meet. Mile and a quarter for the three-year-old fillies in the grade one Alabama. Going to pull up a replay here. It's going to be Maracuja over Malathat in the coaching club American Oaks. Clairiere finished third in there. They're back. Will Secret talked to Dallas Stewart a little bit earlier, and he's taken his shot with that one. I think Army Wife is going to be kind of a wise guy horse in here, but coming out of the coaching club American Oaks, I have a feeling the betting public is still going to tilt towards Malathat despite this close-up defeat last time. But what are your thoughts on the Alabama?
Yeah, Malathat is very much the filly to beat. That last race, there were only four fillies in it, and I honestly think I talked to Todd afterwards. They really had struggled to figure out a strategy for the race. Everyone went from the gate and tried to get their position, yeah. And Johnny decided to ride forward and go with it. And what ended up happening is Maracuja took her on for a little bit, and then Ricardo won the race by dropping back. But there was no breather for Malathat because Clairiere pushed forward. And then when Maracuja made her run, Malathat had just been, you know, setting the pace, taking all that pressure the whole way around. A lesser filly would have tucked it in at the eighth pole. Yeah. She fought to the wire.
Yeah.
And the big difference with this race is we've got more horses in that there's eight in the race. But very importantly, we've got a target this time around with a newcomer in a Played Hard for Philip Bauer and picks up Luis Saez, who's a forward rider. Not too hard to figure out who's going to be on the lead here. Since she stretched out to going around two turns, she's undefeated. This is a big class jump, but for Johnny and a few of the others in here, they've got a target. He doesn't have to do the work this time.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how that pace does play out. I had interviewed Johnny V before the race for the show, and I said coming into the coaching club American Oaks, is it tougher with a small field? And he said, yeah, you know, kind of. People think, oh, how can things go wrong in a small field? But it's quirky, and things do tend to play out very differently. Once you get below five or six and you get down to that four-horse field, things are a little bit different. And he said, yeah, you know, it does. And subsequently, the next day or 2 days later, when I forget when I interviewed him, but when the coaching club American Oaks played out, it was a little bit different than maybe people would have anticipated.
For sure, for sure. If small fields forces horses to do things they haven't done before or don't want to do. And I think for Malathat, she really didn't want to do that. She did it on class.
Which direction do you think you're going to take? I went with Malathat on top again, and I put Clairiere underneath. I've liked that horse all year long. Off the third place finish last time, I'm hoping that, you know, the quirkiness of that race last time may have played into her third place finish, so I'm going to look for her to get up in the mix, and I put Maracuja down in the third spot. But I could probably look at tossing Army Wife and Crazy Beautiful and have a similar level of confidence if I use those. What are you thinking on top?
Crazy Beautiful is one that intrigues me.
Yeah.
She's got one bad running line of late, and that's the Kentucky Oaks, and she was slammed out of the gate, never got into a rhythm. You just draw a line through it. You know, that was a bit of a class and a distance test for her going a mile and an eighth. She's got graded stakes wins going a mile and a 16th on three occasions. I talked to Kenny yesterday. He thinks that the mile and a quarter isn't going to be a problem. This is another one who likes to have a target. She's got that. And she's got a very patient, good rider here in Jose Ortiz. So I think things are lining up for this filly to give it her best shot. Is it good enough to beat Malathat? I'm not so sure. I think Malathat is going to be better for having that race under her belt, a little bit tighter, and it sets up for her to win.
Yeah, I took a real look at Crazy Beautiful, too. That Delaware Oaks was a good-looking race, and the distance could be the equalizer in here. It's always a question mark, a mile and a quarter for these types, but we'll see how it plays out. I think Malathat's, you know, I think she again resumes a firm grip on leadership of the division on Saturday, but I don't know whether it's a sheer thing or not. All right, let's turn our attention north of the border, because I knew you were the guy I had to reach out to talk a little. Queens Blade comes up on Sunday. Good stakes action at Woodbine on Saturday as well. It's a really big weekend for them up there. But on Sunday, the Queens Plate. I'm going to pull up the Woodbine Oaks back on August 1st. The number 10, Money for Row, is going to be the winner. Money for Row, the Philly will come in and face the boys on Sunday in the Queens Plate for Kevin Attard off this nice win last time. But it's a fun race. You and I were talking yesterday. And Safe Conduct coming in for Phil Serpy with Irod Ortiz on board. Who saw that coming? But that horse is just intriguing on that aspect as well. What are your thoughts Sunday in the Queens Plate?
Yeah, lots to talk about on a big card at Woodbine. Irod's got four mounts in all. He's got mounts in all four stakes races. He breezed Safe Conduct on the turf here last Sunday. I went out to watch the breeze. Snug hold through most of the work and then let the horse gallop out really strong. The horse looks very fit. Mile and a quarter, not going to be a problem. Never gone on Tapeta before, though. Woodbine has a synthetic surface, so most horses that are good on turf, which this horse is, will handle the Tapeta.
Yeah.
And the troubled running lines the last two starts, he's had off the turf for the Pennine Ridge racing in the slot and a good turf in the Belmont Derby. That was probably on the softer side of good, and he just didn't like it. So there's a lot to like there. A few question marks, too. I think 5-1 is probably a fair price on a horse like that. We watched Money for Row win the Oaks. She's my selection in this race. They ran the Plate Trial, which is sort of the prep race for the Queen's Plate. Same card, both at a mile and an eighth. And the fillies went 2 seconds faster than the boys. Now, granted, much like the Coaching Club Oaks, the Plate Trial was only a four-horse field, so I'm not sure it was a true run race. But I do think the filly is the horse to beat here. And there's a lot of interesting storylines through this race. There are six Attard-trained horses, four for Kevin, one for his father, Tino Attard, which is Keep Grinding. And Keep Grinding is owned by Kevin's son, Joshua Attard, who is a teenager who is a huge passion for horse racing. That horse has a very good shot. I was speaking to Ron Gierkink of Form at Woodbine yesterday, and he said Keep Grinding is a horse who has been working the best coming into this race of the local contenders. Every part of a mile and a quarter.
That'd be a great story. 17-year-old winning the million-dollar race.
You gotta love it. I as much as I have to win this race, how happy would he be to see his son beat him in a photo finish? It'd be some mixed emotions for sure.
I'm just noticing Gallardo is riding regularly up at Woodbine this season.
Antonio Gallardo moved his tack there recently and is riding Lights Out. Almost everything he's been on is live. The local trainers have taken a shine to him, and he's riding winning races. So he can't be overlooked.
Yeah, that's interesting. You say you're tilting towards Money for Row, and I will note that it is not unusual at all for a filly to not just run in, but win the Queen's Plate.
Sure. And recently, 2011, Inglorious won. Lexi Liu in 2014, who fans here might be familiar with, and Holy Helena in 2017. Phillies can regularly beat the boys. It happens.
Yeah, and so coming out of that Woodbine Oaks, the morning line is the morning line favorite, right? It's 9-2, so it's not an overwhelming favorite, but it's that kind of race. If people are playing around, actually Keep Grinding. Keep Grinding is the 4-1, again, slight favorite in there, and a field that on the morning line is wide open. So I think it's going to be a fun race. 12, 13 horses entered in there, which makes for a solid group of runners that will provide some good value, you would have to think. But Money for Row coming off the win in the Oaks, looking pretty good in there to me as well. We're also going to take a look at the Highlander on the card on Sunday. The Highlander is another grade one race. It is a 6-furlong turf sprint. Got to love the turf racing up at Woodbine with the two turf courses and making the most use of both of them as the meet goes along. But the Highlander, always one of the highlights of the season as well. What did you like in here?
Yeah, I think for those people that are playing multi-race wagers, Caravelle is your single in here. Caravelle won the Caress last out here at Saratoga, and I think she's got a similar setup. In the Caress, Robin Sparkles went to the front, and Caravelle was able to relax and then make her move under Irad Ortiz, who travels to get this mount again. She's taking on the boys, but I don't think that's going to be an issue here. There's for her to chase. The only difference between Saratoga and Woodbine is we've got these nice tight turns here and a bit of a shorter stretch at Saratoga. It's sweeping turns. It's a much more like a Belmont turf course at Woodbine. And you've got that 2 furlongs from the top of the stretch home. That's going to be the real test of how far can she stretch her speed and how patient can Irad be.
I remember the first visit a few years ago. Up to Woodbine to cover, it was probably Queen's Plate because we go up typically in Queen's Plate and Woodbine Mile were up there both weekends. Obviously this past year, no, but I remember the first year we went up, I was watching a turf race, standing inside, looking at the monitor. And as they turned for home, the horse I had bet took the lead and I thought, oh. And at that point, I stopped watching the monitor and took the 5 steps down to walk outside and look. And I said, oh, wait a minute, there's a long way to go here.
Yeah, it's you see a lot of these graded races on the turf here, and when jockeys tip their horses out approaching the final turn, it's, I used to jog that turf course to stay fit back when I was fit, and believe me, it's a gut buster when you finally get to the turn and it just never ends. You feel like you're turning forever. So you really do have to tuck in and wait and wait and wait. And speaking to Elizabeth Merriman, who trained Caravelle, she said that this filly, when you give this filly her cue, she's gone. There's only one chance to press that button, you know. And so it was a big concern for her last out, you know, can Irad wait, because it was his first time on the filly. And he passed the test with flying colors. She's now moved over to Graham Motion's barn, but I suspect the filly will be very much the same. Irad's got to wait to the 8th pole. So Irad, count to 3 when you make the turn, wait for the next pole, and then go.
Yeah, because as I say, for folks who don't know, the main turf course is on the outside up at Woodbine. And yeah, you look down and there, it is a long stretch. And Elizabeth Merriman trained for that graded stakes win up at Saratoga. I mean, you could see that meant a lot to her to get a graded stakes race. But the horse was bought into by Bobby Flay, and there was a common decision made to move the horse over to Graham Motion, which I think Elizabeth Merriman was okay with, and so now goes up to Woodbine for Graham, and that would be a nice next move coming out of the graded win up at Saratoga, win the grade one up at Woodbine. But it will be interesting to see that stretch run, what Caravelle does.
There is one other horse in that race, Seth, who 12-1 on the morning line, and it's one of those ones you're reading the form, and then you have to turn the page to get to that one last horse. 12-1 morning line, it's probably going to be forgotten by the fans, but Silent Poet, who is a very classy horse, 9-16 on that turf course, which means something. Horses really need to like that course. Has turned 6 years old this year and has not really stepped up. Is this one of these things where it's COVID-related, later start to the year, maybe needed a couple runs? But I definitely think Silent Poet can outrun the 12-1 odds here, and we'll be running late.
Yeah, I remember that one from some of the visits we have made up there as being a runner. So there is some back talent, certainly. And before we go, you said you had one other stat for folks looking for the get-out race up in Woodbine.
Emma Jane Wilson's a great follow on Twitter, for those of you who are familiar with the Canadian champion rider. A fan put out a stat yesterday. Emma's had a mount in the final race at Woodbine 24 times this season. She's won 9 of them. She's hitting at a 38% clip in the last race of the day. If the $2 win on each returns $82.90 for $48 spent, so you're making money on it. And she rides Toronto Toro for Hall of Fame trainer Roger Atfield in the 13th and final race on Sunday's card. If you need an out, Emma's your girl.
Emma Jane Wilson in the finale up at Woodbine. We'll keep our eyes on that as well. Keith, as always, appreciate the visit. Thoughts on some New York racing, but also a little look up at the big weekend coming up at Woodbine as well. And we'll talk again.
Thank you, Seth.
Keith McAlmont from the press office here at Nyrin. As I say, he was our go-to guy up at Woodbine for a long time, so I thought I'd reach out and get some thoughts on the racing north of the border this weekend as well. We'll take one more break. We'll come back and wind it up for a Friday Racing Across America. Stay tuned.
right.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pennell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pennell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on a Friday morning. Again, I am Seth Merrill, and I appreciate your tuning in. And I would also appreciate, I will shamelessly plug, there's a day left for the voting. America's favorite TV personality, and somehow I made the bout, but on the America's Best Racing website, I'd love to have your vote. And again, if you voted earlier in the week, they reset the leaderboard about a day and a half ago, and I think you can vote again even. So swing by and vote. Again, there's the link, but it's just easier if you go and visit my Equidaily website. There's a link right up at the top of the page to the ballot. So go down and find my name and click on it. I would really appreciate it because somehow I am sitting 8th, 9th, 10th, depending on the time of day, against 46 contestants. There are 46 other folks on the ballot, all of which, except for me, have some kind of national presence. So vote for me, vote for Capital OTB, and I think it would be fun if we did score a little something in there and have that top 10 finish. So again, if you go over to Equidaily, I have the link to at the top of the page, and you can vote. And as I say, I would appreciate it. Also appreciate Keith McCalmont stopping in on this Friday morning. A little bit before that, Ed Fazone from Eddie F's, both the restaurant and the racing stable. Talked a little food and horses with Eddie. And at the top of the show, Dallas Stewart, who has Will's Secret coming up tomorrow in the Alabama. And we also touted a couple of his stakes runners coming up Monday at Colonial as well. So appreciate all those folks taking some time to stop by. We will alert you to promos coming up. Excuse me for turning to my computer, but the Bounty Bet returns today. Late pick five at Saratoga. Play that with your Capital OTB bet account. You get a shot at that $1,000 plus bounty. There's a trifecta challenge this afternoon at the Clubhouse Racebook. Swing on by and take advantage of that if that's going to be your venue for watching the races this afternoon. Tomorrow, the syndicate, the team set, but syndicates for each Saturday at the Saratoga meet open on Sunday. So if you want to get in next week's Travers Day syndicate, which again allows you in a big pick ticket for a modest amount of money, if you want to get in for next Saturday, check out the website on Sunday in a first come first serve situation. Saturday there's also a pick three bankroll that I will be playing on behalf of some bankroll team members. Check out the website to potentially make the team for Saturday's pick three bankroll. Saturday, there's also a play the board contest at the Clubhouse Racebook. Sunday, there's a show pool bankroll. And once again, check the website to toss your name in the hat for that. And Sunday at the Clubhouse Racebook, pick four in a match bet promotion. Again, at the Clubhouse Racebook on Sunday. I am going to wrap it up for a Friday afternoon here at Saratoga, live from Clare Court. The sun has come out. It seems like it's probably going to be a little mix of sun and clouds today, mostly overcast. I don't think we're looking at any precipitation, though, so I think we're we're good to go. However, the rain yesterday knocked all races except number six off the turf for this Friday afternoon. So keep that in mind as you're handicapping as well. But again, happy to be coming to you live from Saratoga Clare Court and our Clare Court set. And we will do it all again tomorrow starting at 9 a.m. for the handicapper support, 10 a.m. for Racing Across America. We're about to zip back right behind us in the barns right behind us here. Rob Attris and his wife Brittany, we'll talk to them. Rob, of course, with Maracuja in the Grade 1 Alabama tomorrow. So we'll talk about that and more with Rob. That'll all be on Racing Across America at 10 a.m. and much, much more. So we're wrapping up the morning programming for this Friday. But we will be back tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. with the handicapper support. We'll see you then.
You've been watching Racing Across America. Racing Across America has been brought to you by... Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.